We're about to begin a brand new sugya. I mean, brand new, relatively speaking. And that's the beginning of Rabbi Chiya Kamaisa. And the famous statement of Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya's statement is going to take us through the world of Maidu Miktas, through the world of Kaif Rakol, through the world of Migo Da Aziz. We got through the Chiyuvim of Korban, Piv Machayev Korban, through Maidu Miktas Potor. We got assorted Shas topics coming up the next Amud or so, all revolving around Rabbi Chiya. So it's going to take us even longer than we expected because we have Rabbi Chiya somewhere in the middle of it. So this is going to take us for the bulk of the time. I'm not going to say to winter break, but at least maybe Thanksgiving. Yeah, no, it's going to take us a while. Okay? So it starts out with Rabbi Chiya's fairly innocent statement. Rabbi Chiya is trying to figure out what's the din. We spoke a little about this the other day. What's the din if you have a very strange kind of a quote-unquote Maidu B'miktas? Not a Maidu B'miktas, it's an Eidu B'miktas. I say you owe me $100, and you respond, I don't know, you a penny, so it sounds like we're a classic Kaf Rakol. The only problem is your Eidim will say you owe me $50. The Eidim don't know anything about the rest. The only thing they were there, $50 loan. The question is that halakha equivalent to Maidu B'miktas? Should we say that Maidu B'miktas is B'chai B'shvua? How much more so Eidim should be B'chai B'shvua? That was basically the thrust of Rabbi Chiya. So Rabbi Chiya said yes, and the Gemara is going to question the next moment and a half whether that is correct or not. So comes the Gemara and introduces into this whole equation, understanding the validity of Rabbi Chiya's position. The Gemara takes us in a certain sense back to the very beginning. If Rabbi Chiya's whole din is building a part of Maidu B'miktas, we got to take 10 steps back and really understand Maidu B'miktas. If you don't understand real Maidu B'miktas, how are you going to understand this quasi Maidu B'miktas? So we got to go back to the basics. So we go back to the basics of a statement that we spoke a lot about earlier on in the year. Amar Rabba, famous statement of Amar Rabba. It's got to be a basic statement. It appears in five different places in Shas. Rabba opens up the sugya. This is what we're going to start Rabbi Chiya with. Rabba's statement. The Amar Rabba, Mipnei Ma'am Retaira, Maidim Miksatan Yishava. Rabba's sitting back and he's philosophizing about the halacha and he's saying, Mipnei Ma'am Retaira, Maidim Miksatan Yishava. Why does the Tera Kadesh say there's a din of Maidim Miksas? The fact that the Torah says it, you don't need Rabba for that. That we know, everybody knows Mishnah is like that. It's learned out from the pasuk Hashem Yomar Ki Hu Zeh. That's magic words. Ki Hu Zeh means I'm Meida I'm Zeh, but I'm Kofer I'm Zeh. Meida mixes Yeshava. That's a Din Diaraisa. Aloch Moshe Sinai Teshem Chassav Teshem Apeh. Place Mandapolik. There was never a question in thousands of years as a Shvus a Torah or Shvus Meida mixes. Comes to Rabba and says Baruch Abu Here I Am. Bitnei Ma'am Retayr. Why does the Torah say this? So we already when we spoke about Rabba in passing in the sugyas of some of the Migos sugyas. So we pointed out that it is very unlikely that Rabba is posing a philosophical question, a very, very strange question. We wouldn't ask, Yipnei Ma'am Retaira, I don't know, need an example? We should blow shofar, there we go, okay. Yipnei Ma'am Retaira, blow shofar. I mean, that's an interesting question. The Rambam asks that question, but he asks it in Hilchos Tshuva. After he tells you that's Xeris HaKos Ben Chayki, then he says, and by the way, what can we derive from this? So the fact that we have Darshit and Taim Dikron, we try to learn, you know, ethical, religious, moral lessons from mitzvahs, that's fine. We're all for that. But that's not Bav Metziyat Av Gimel Ben Aleph. That's Shabbos morning, sermon at 9:15 in the morning. Okay, it's a different kind of a question. That's a Tanakh class. It's a different. Amar Rabba Bav Metziyat Av Gimel Ben Aleph, Rav and Shvus, Rav and Ksubis, these are not mushy mesechtes. These are hardcore lumdas. Amar Rabba Bnei Ma'am Retaira. There's something bothering Rabba. What is bothering Rabba? That's the question of today's Shia. What is bothering Rabba? What's wrong with Maidu B'miktas? Come to Rashi, in a few places, and Rashi says, you know what's wrong with Maidu B'miktas? For a chashvei kemeshiv aveda lepeitrei, shalakafa b'kula. Says Rashi, every Maidu B'miktas, we should call him a meshiv aveda. Because after all, he's coming forward and he's admitting, nobody forced him to admit. I come and I say, you broke my window, you owe me $100. You could say, Kai Freko. Nothing compelled you to say Maidu B'miktas. You're volunteering the information of Maidu B'miktas. You're a Meshiv Aveda. You're doing a Shabbos Aveda. You're returning something you didn't even have to. Nobody would have known otherwise. For the Chashma cost of Kameshiv Aveda. That's what's bothering Rabba, according to Rashi. There should have been a Ptur Shvua because of Meshiv Aveda. So we'll push the question back. Why do you think a Meshiv Aveda is going to Shvua? Why? What do you think? Let's say it's a real Meshiv Aveda. Imagine the case of Maidu B'miktas in a real Hashavas Aveda. I come and I say, I found this wallet. You come and you give a siman in the wallet. I say, I'd be more than happy, I'm giving you back the wallet. You start to open up the wallet and you start looking and say, wait a second. There's only $80 in here. There used to be $100 in here. And I say, what are you talking about? There was only $80. Are you accusing me of stealing? The guy says, yeah, absolutely. You stole $20 of mine. I said, absolutely not. They were fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting. A real nation of Adav, the real McCoy. What's the impression you get from Rashi? That there shouldn't have been a what? There shouldn't be a what? There shouldn't be a Shmuel. It's a Chameshav of Adav. A nation of Adav is thought to be a Shmuel. Everybody knows that. So Rashi is now asking, assuming that we know that a Meisher Veda is part of a Shmuah, so Rashi is asking, so Abazoi, every Meisher Veda is a Meisher Veda. It's true, it's not the classic Meisher Veda, it wasn't a lost wallet with a simon, with Elam Metziah Shalei, with Tzayas Chachos, it wasn't Kavi Abhamas, it wasn't Kikrus Misha Sarap, you bet it wasn't regular second breakup of Metziah, but conceptually, every Meisher Veda equals a Meisher Veda, because Lamaisa, nobody really was compelling him to come forward with the information that he came forward. That's what Rashi is learning the Gemara. That Mivnam Ratayra, why is Meidav Mikzas Chayav? Typically, he's a Meshav Aveda, and everybody under the sun knows that a real Meshav Aveda is, of course, Potter Minashvur. And who told you that a real Meshav Aveda is Potter Minashvur? How do you know that? So Rashi, in other places, it fills in the gap. Rashi in Ksubis, and other Masechtas, Rashi fills in with the magic word and says, how do I know that a Meshav Aveda is Potter? Everybody knows that. It's the Mishnah where? The fifth paragraph of Masechtas Gittin. It says, "Hamoitz Metziah Vayishava." Everybody knows in Hilchas Metziah, Eilu Metziah, there's never a shvua for the Moitz Metziah. So Rashi says, Rashi made a triple equation. What was the triple equation? Rashi said, every Meidav Mikzas is a Meishav Aveda, and every Meishav Aveda is a Moitz Metziah. And the Mishnah says, "Beferish Moitz Metziah Vayishava." Ready to go? No, it's okay. Moitz Metziah lo yishava. Moitz Metziah lo yishava. So that's how the Gemara reads according to Rashi. It's all Gemara, fantastic. We have a Gemara Meseches Gittin. We have every Meishav Veda is a Moitz Metziah. Every Moitz Metziah is based on Meishav Veda. So Amadav Bnei Mam Retaira, come to Rishayim and say what? The whole house just came caving in on Rashi. You know why? Because everything is hinging upon this famous statement again, Moitz Metziah lo yishava. The Mishnah Gittin has a small continuation, which I just goofed and said, he spilled the beans. Moitz Metziah lo yishava, why? Tikkun ha'olam. It's a din midrabanan. Tikkun ha'olam. I understand the Tikkun ha'olam very well. What's the Tikkun ha'olam? Who's going to want to find lost, who's going to want to return lost objects? I'm being a nice guy. I'm doing the mitzvah Torah. I'm doing a Shavas Aveda. You can take me to din Torah for the other $20. And I don't want to take a shvur. I'm going to be stuck. We talk Shani Yachal Shav Mishalim. Every Shavas Aveda is going to cost me money. Such mitzvahs I can do without. So comes the Heilige Mishnah in Maseches Gittin and says, "Yechacham v'misakein, meitzi metziah lo yishav leitikin ha'olam." Now come to Rishayim and jump in Rashi. Wait a second. If meitzi metziah is only b'dirabanan, so then Meishav Aveda is only b'dirabanan. So then any p'tua shvur might have mixed would only be b'dirabanan. The Rabbah's statement is incomprehensible. Because what is Rabbah? How does Rabbah phrase this question? Rabbah doesn't ask, if that would have been the question, then it would have been a great question. Hey, how come we don't institute the Din D'Rabban of Moitz Metziah? What did Rabbah say? He said the, I can't even say it in a drill, he said the bad word. What was the bad word? Torah. Holy Torah says, you're asking me a kasha? Under a British line, from a Mishnah Gittin, from a Tekanas Chacham of Tikkun Olam. Tikkun Olam is the Eske Kasha on the Torah. What do you think this Kasha is that? So all the Rishonim say Rashi is completely blind. How can Rashi say such a thing? How could you possibly salvage Rashi? For who saw Shita Mekubetzes? Nobody saw the Shita? What did Shita say with Das Rashi? Oh, it's a historical development of Shavuos. You can get a PhD on this one, says the Shita Mekubetzes. What really happens, Zok Teshita, is as follows. Min HaTorah, there's a din di araisa that when you're a Moitz Metziah, you don't take Shavuos. Shavuos is only given for bad people in days and who we think are like, nice guys. What's the, what's, even in legal, let's do it. Have of those, what's it called? The Good Samaritan law, right? The Good Samaritan law. We don't, right? There's such a thing. Good Samaritan law. It's a Stira Mineu Bay, that term. And anyone who knows where that term came from. So it's whatever. Everyone knows what I want to say, but I'm not going to say it. Okay, good. So, good old Kusim, a good friend to Kusim. Okay, so we'll leave it at that. So, Zok Tishin Mekubet says, the starting point, those who don't know what I'm talking about, it's even better. Comes Tishin Mekubet says, and says, the starting point was Midaraisa. Chalil, I'm late to Betsy, it's going to take Shulas, it's inconceivable. Can't be. Aloha. Midarabonon, the Chachamim said, you know, even in cases where shvuas aren't required in the Torah, we still slap it with a shvua. What's that called? What's the term, the all-encompassing term for cases where in the Torah you don't really have to pay shvuas? But we still we call it a shvuas heses. Okay? So we throw you a shvuas heses. So comes the sheep and says, notwithstanding the fact that originally, when the Torah was given to Klal Yisrael, back to Har Sinai, Maitzi Mitzias, Meishiv Avedis, who else? Maidim Mixes, all these guys, Ein Shvua. That's the starting point, Midaraisa. Everybody knows that, okay? But at some point in history, there was either a real takana or a suggested takana called, you know what? Shvua's Heses. You never lose with Shvua's Heses. Let's throw Shvua's Heses at all of these cases, right? And it was that. I don't know whether it ever really happened, whether there ever was such a time in history, or that make-believe stage in history, that's where the Mishnah Gittin is kicking in. Comes the Mishnah, the beginning of the fifth breath of Gittin, and says, no. We don't want to do that. You know why we don't want to do that? Even though we should have done that, we don't want to do it. Why? Because of what? Tikkun Olam. So in other words, according to the Rishita's learning, this very, very mechudish, the historical development of Shat with us, Rashi, the Mishnah Gittin is not addressing Shvu D'Araisa. There never was a Shvu D'Araisa. Because everybody knows from day one, Shvu D'Araisa don't exist from Meshav Avedas and Meshav Tutsiyas and Maidu Mixis. That's a given. That's Chag L'Yava. Oh, what? The potential Shvu D'Rabbana that may have either literally existed or only existed in the imagination of the Shidduch Kubetzis, that potential Shvu D'Rabbana, that's what the Mishnah Gittin is saying. Tikkun Olam. Don't make such a Shvu D'Rabbana. You're going to lose more than you're going to gain. Tikkun Olam. But in the perfect world, the Araisa, what's the real starting point? Meitzim Metzias, Meishim Avedas, nobody takes Shavuos. And that's Rabbis Kashim. Neima Amri Torah. So if the Torah itself knew step one, that Meitzim Metzias, Meishim Avedas, Meitzim Mixas don't take Shavuos, and this equation is true, so then how come every Meitzim Mixas has to take a Shavuos? Isn't every Meitzim Mixas a Meishim Avedas? Which the Gemara has to answer. He's not really a Meishim Avedas because another Meishim Baruch Meir Bachoyvel. It means he didn't have the option of saying nothing. And again, that's the Rabbi's answer. But we're not learning Rabbi's answer. We're asking Rabbi's question. Wow. This is really an ingenious pshat. There are two big problems with this pshat. Two glaring problems with this pshat. What?
Uh-huh. We're able to say that Mother Mix is Darabon.
Mother Mix is Khalil Khalil. Mother Mix is the Shvu D'Araisa. No, so that's the Rabbi's kasha. Okay, how could there be a Shvu D'Araisa? Doesn't the Torah itself tell us that there's no Shavuos for... there's no Shavuos for Motzim Mitzia, Meshav Eidah. Isn't a Meidah Mixas an example? And the Rabbah's answer is no. Ain't other Meidah's part of Meidah Chai, but Meidah Mixas is not an example. Right. That's how the Gemara reads according to the Shavuos. So of course there are two big problems. One we call a historical, pure historical problem, the other is a historic slash halachic problem. The historical problem is like, there's one question you have to ask in this. If you want to ask Lomdus, you have to ask it. If you don't want to ask Lomdus, what would you say? What? I would say, huh? What? It's all the same thing. Like you read Gemaras, you read Shasta. As though someone got lost here in the shuffle. That's number one. But there's another problem here. There's a halachic question. Astacha machlagis. Who made up Shvu'os Heses? What stage in history is Shvu'os Heses made up in? According to many Rishonim, Shvu'os Heses doesn't appear in the Mishnah, at least explicitly. Amar of Nachman and Shvu'os, Mashbina says Shvu'os Heses. The Mishnah says in Shvu'os, and you have a kofar akol, so there's no Shvu'os. The Perush of Mishnah. Amar of Nachman, Mashbina says Shvu'os Heses. So many, many Rishonim say, what does that mean? Amr Rav Nachman Shmina Sosh Vazesis? Who made up Shvazesis? Rav Nachman and his Beis Din. They instituted Shvazesis. Didn't even the Halak, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Kiva never heard of it. Didn't exist in their days. It was a late Takanas Amr Roman Bavel. According to this chat, that's not true. Because according to this chat, the Mishnah and Tikkun, you got to know a little bit of this history of Halacha, the Mishnah and Tikkun Olam is before after Rav Nachman. But even if you don't have a PhD, you should know the exact question. The Mishnah in Gittin is obviously years before of Nachman. So according to this Razzle Razzle Shabbat Shidu Kibetzes, the Mishnah of Tikkun Olam is addressing Shvuot Hesed that according to most of the Rishonim doesn't exist yet. Never exists. Never such an animal called Shvuot Hesed yet. So this would be an absurd shot historically according to those Rishonim. The good news is that the Shach points out a Chesh Mishpat, the Rashi probably happens to disagree with those Rishonim. Rashi seems to learn in other places in Shas that Shavuos Hesed wasn't made up for Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman is just telling you that, by the way, there is a Shavuos Hesed. Who made it up? Sometimes between Moshe Rabbeinu and Rav Nachman. I don't know, between Moshe Rabbeinu and the Mishnah. Somebody made up Shavuos Hesed. It was a Beis Din of some point made up Shavuos Hesed. Not that Rav Nachman was Mechadisha, Rav Nachman was merely reporting on its existence. So the Shach points this out to us, Rashi. If that's the case, if that is true, so then this shot is at least a tenable shot. It's a the bottom line is, if you the first kasha is a very powerful kasha. Heichet takes it as a whole story. The second kasha may be powerful also, but if you take a little bite out of the second kasha, if you're willing to put Rashi in that camp of Rishonim, that hold that Shvazesis did predate the Mishnah. We're not going to go through the sugya with this shot. Notwithstanding the fact that the Heilige Rishon said it, it's a very hard question.
Could you say that? Now that it's no longer a Shavua Deoraisa, there's no longer Tikkun Olam. People aren't necessarily going to be as worried about.
People don't like Shavuos. Even Shavuos Deoraisa. Not as nervous, but nervous enough.
Could you say that the
Shavua
Deoraisa is Shavuos
Hesed,
right? Is that what we said?
That means that we're going to make. No, the Shavua Deoraisa. At the end of the day, it's a real Shavua Deoraisa because the end of the day, it's not a Motz Metzias. The whole thing is not true. But this is Rabba in the world of Rabba's Kasher.
It was the Rabbanan that enacted it, right?
No. Everyone agrees that the Torah says ki hu zeh. That's not a question. Ki hu zeh. So Rab is asking, how could the Torah say ki hu zeh? Why isn't every mitzvah in the mitzvah part of Mishmur with the Raisa? Because it might be tzia. That was the rest of the pshat. So there's an alternate pshat, the Das Rashi, as also has its pros and cons to it. It appears in the Maram Shif. Everyone's going inside? For the Maram Kremis? No. Says the Maram Shif. Back to Gemara. Das Rashi, I think it's in Super Sangit, I remember what it is. But says the Maram Shif, if you look carefully at the Gemara Masechet Gittin, you notice that there's a word here, a phrase here, that doesn't necessarily mean what we thought it means. What is that phrase? Tikkun Olam. You thought Tikkun Olam means the Rabbanan. Why did you think that? What do you think Tikkun Olam means with the Rabbanan? Why did I think that? Because that's what it sounds like. It means the Chachamim made a takana to fix up the world, to prevent problems. That's what Tikkun Olam means. So comes the Maram Shif and says, Maram Makom Nilach, take a look at the Sugya Maseches Gittin. The Mishnah about Motz Metzila Hashem Tikkun Olam is one of the many, many Tikkun Olams there. Anyone who looked at Maseches Gittin will remember that the fifth prayer of Gittin doesn't even belong in Maseches Gittin. There's nothing to do with Gittin. Tais already says that. There was a flip. Somebody mixed up the Masechtas. Not really. There are two parakim. There's a parakim in Bava Basra and there's a parakim in Gittin. The last parakim of Bava Basra is called Get Pashit, which has nothing to do with Bava Basra. It has to do with Shtaris. So it really belongs to Masechtas Gittin. And the fifth parakim of Gittin is parakim Hanizok, which really belongs in Bava Kama. It doesn't belong in. Doesn't belong in Bechlaum. The word Get doesn't appear in the whole parakim. Almost. Just that. It's a pelos. That's how Rabbi Yehuda Nosi was beside the Mishnayos. Why? Why is he beside the Mishnayos that way? Because Lamaisa, there is a Mishnah at the beginning of the fourth breath of Gittin that talks about a Tikkun Olam b'Gittin. So therefore, the Mishnah lists off. Oh, by the way, there was another Tikkun Olam b'Gittin and another one. Oh, and then there was some other Tikkun Olam. It's like the Ein Bains in the beginning of Masechet Megillah, like that kind of style. Like they kind of got onto a tangent. So we got it the whole parak of the tangent. Usually, you get a Mishnah through in a tangent. He got a whole parak of Shas with mamash a tangent. All the they think of the islands are the fifth part of Gittin. Imagine if the fifth part of Gittin wasn't in Gittin. Imagine on Tisha B'Av morning, everyone will be learning Kamsa Bar-Kamsa in Bava Kama. It's a whole different world. But that's the way it is. It's strange, one of the strange things. So why did we do not put Get Pasha at the end of Bava Basra? It was just a joke, right? Why? Because it's not Pasha rule, it's the hardest break in Shas. It's good Pasha just to make everyone know. You've been learning for 30 Prachim of Nezikin, so just to tell you that life's not so Pasha. Okay. I don't think that's why he did it. This is my. Okay. Now, guys, going back to this one. So in the Mishnah is a Tikkun Olam, beginning of the fifth parak of the Seder's Gittin, the main thrust of Tikkun Olam, there's another Tikkun Olam mentioned there. Who remembers? How does the parak start out? Hanizok and Shomlam be what? Hanizok and Shomlam be Idis with a Tikkun Olam. The Amazek has to pay. If I burn down your house, or I dig a pit and your animal fell in, or I broke your arm, my animal ate your property, whatever it is, I have to pay back. From what property do I pay back? I mean, Idis, I have to pay back from the best property. And what does the Mishnah say? Why? Bipnei what? Bipnei Tikkun Olam. What's the Gemara's first kasha there? Bipnei Tikkun Olam, dear Isahi. Yichsiv Meita, Sadeh, Meita, Karmi, Yishalom, Zafasim, Chumish. Pash Mishpat, Meita. What do you mean? It's Bipnei Tikkun Olam? Who are you kidding? That's the Gemara's first kasha. You know who asked me this kasha? Yesterday. Rabbi Yaakov asked me this kasha. He was sitting and learning. He's learning the fifth parak of Gittin. He just started with the Chavrusa. Shabbos morning, the fifth parak of Gittin. He's learning Gittin in Yeshiva. So he's doing Bikiyas. Fifth parak. So he read the first Mishnah. Says, and he's them be Yiddish. They take it on them. He turned to me. He says, Abba, this doesn't make any sense. I learned Pasha Mishpatim. He says, the first Yiddish. In the Chumash. He said, good kasha. Hold on. Gemara's going to ask the kasha. So the Gemara asked the kasha. So what does the Gemara answer? Look, he says, ah, that's a story. Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shmuel, in this Nizik, as he was the Mazik, and back and forth. Oh, why not begin? We try to figure out a certain crazy, wild scenario where maybe a Mazik wouldn't pay if it's been a turn. Enough of Yechei Bidir, but he has to. But all the dust settles. Amar Ravina, who remembers the feedback of Gittin? Ravina Amar. Ravina says, I'll tell you the pshat. When it says Tikkun Olam, Zep Ravina, it doesn't mean it's the Rabbanan. Tikkun Olam is the reason for the Din D'Oraisa. That's what Tikkun Olam means. Tikkun Olam is explaining to you that don't think it's just a Gzeres HaKos, it's a quirk. Gzeres HaKos of that Nezikin payment, you just know. It makes a lot of sense that Nezikin payment is. And even if the Torah wouldn't have said it, we would have said it. You know why? You'd be Tikkun Olam. What's a Tikkun Olam? To make sure people don't what? They don't damage your friends. If a person thinks, oh, no problem, I got to really get back with that. I'm going to destroy his property really bad. And I happen to have a field in the middle of Wyoming. So I'll take away my field in Wyoming. Big deal. What do I need a field in Wyoming for? It's worth it. The Nekom is worth it. But if I realize they're going to take away my property in Midtown Manhattan, my idios, I'm going to think twice before I burn down the guy's field, before I destroy the guy's property. So Anizok and Shamlan, the idios, is not some din derabanan. Somebody got up and made a tikkun olam. Nah, it's a din deraisa. Why did the Torah say Anizok and Shamlan, the idios? Why did the Torah Kadesh said it made tikkun olam? So Zokhtim Amshif, who is good enough for Ravina, then it's good enough for Rashi. Rashi is learning an unbelievable shot. Leitzim Mitzia, Lo Yishav Etikin Olam, is not a Dirabbanon. It's not some made-up Dirabbanon 5,000 years later. It's part of the Torah Kedosh. It's built into Rashi for Shavuos. Shavuos don't exist on Leitzim Mitzias. Mipnei Ba'amra Torah. It's not Mipnei Matiknu. It's a Din D'Araisa. That Leitzim Mitzia, Lo Yishav Etikin Olam, just translate the word Tikin Olam to mean D'Araisa. If that's correct, so then Rashi reads like a charm. How could the Torah say that Meidu Mikzas has to what? Has to take a Shavua. Isn't every Meidu Mikzas basically a Meitzi Metziya / Meishu Veda? And doesn't everybody know that the Mishnah Gittin relates to us that that's a Din D'Oraisa, the Meitzi Metziya and Meishu Veda, and by extensions, Meidu Mikzas don't take Shavuas D'Oraisa? Doesn't everybody know that? So why is Meidu Mikzas different? So that's what Rabbi answers. It's not a real measurement. Very nice. That's how the Gemara reads according to Mark Schiff's version of Rashi. You have tainus on the word Tikkun Olam. Go take it up with the Ravina. Don't take it up with the Mark Schiff. But basically, what's the problem with this Pshat? And what's the problem with the other Pshat also? There's still something fundamentally problematic with this Pshat. It's the same problem as the other pshat. Where's Rashi saying that? Huh? Rashi says it himself. That's a big problem. There's another problem. There's something fundamentally problematic. This is not the same as Ravina.
But Ravina, they're just giving a reason for the rights. Here, it's saying the status quo should have been
Shavua and the Deraisa is changing the status
quo. So what do you say? What do you say?
It's supposed to be the status quo. There's no reason.
So more, you're almost there. I thought we were about to say it.
The
oh,
what is it? You could almost change what was before, then tell you the reason.
Because of the one. Yeah. What's the mark of this phantom in their eyes called Nature of Ada Potter and Shua? What is it? Mitzvah Shava, it's their eyes according to Rashi. That's what the Shidu Kubetz is claiming with us, Rashi. They're just saying the din changed and their eyes and their abundance and back and forth is talking. And the Maam Shif is claiming, yeah, that's the din their eyes. It is a din their eyes and the reason. I'm even giving you a reason for the din their eyes. If they take an eye, Mom. Stop. Open up from Brachus to the Zeis Abracha and show me which date in the Halei Gittaira that Meitze Metzia doesn't take a Shavua. So what you're saying is that even if there would be an Eid Echad or there would be a Meitze Mitzas within one of those Shavuos Deraisa, you would say there's no Shavua Deraisa. Where is that? It's not mentioned. No. I'm saying in a case where Meitze Metzia, where there would have been a Shavua Deraisa, Meitze Metzia is a Poit of a Deraisa. Where did it say that? It's Ikka Chosim in a Sefer. So both Pshatim Midas Rashi are Pilei Ploin. The whole premise of Rashi is Rabbi Sai, I have to be honest. I'm going to throw my hands and I'm going to say, I don't know. My mamish don't know. I don't know how to salvage Rashi's Pshat. I don't understand. Not a bad company. Tell you didn't understand. No one understood it. Where's the din deraisa? So you want to tell me you want to dreiz a charam with the lashon tikkun olam? You talk Rashi himself doesn't say it. You want to tell me a story like Ravina? Okay, you want to tell me like the Shimon Kubetz says? Yeah, this development, that development, this historical. But there's a fundamental glaring problem here. Is that where is this din deraisa? It doesn't exist. It's din deraisa. Where's it saying? It's a very, very difficult Rashi. No, but a case of Maidu and Mikshus and Meshav Aveda. That case I gave before, I find $100, I'm giving back the wallet, and now you're claiming there's only 80 here, and you claimed there was 100, and I claimed there's only 80. So the starting point of Rashi is that we have Torah, there's no Shavua. Since you're Motzi Metzia has a card. It says a get out of Shavua free card. That's what it says. Like, anytime you have a Shavua at me, you're throwing the Shavua's Maidu Mikshus at me, you're throwing the Shavua's Eid at me, I pull out my community chest card that says get out of Shavua free. Bye bye. Where? Who wrote that card? I don't see that card in the Chumash. I don't know. So everybody say, I'm sorry to say I don't have a working shot Rashi. Someone else has? Let me know.
I was probably wrong, but in the Pe Asur Peshe Asur.
Oh, but, hold on. Yeah.
But that was by Rashi,
no? Yeah, no, that's it. Wait. Wait, we're going to get there. We're getting there. The Rishayim do not go Rashi's route, they go Tosfos's route. And the Rishayim say, forget this whole Maitreya, forget Gittin, forget Perekhan, exactly, you're in the wrong Masechta. But Rabbi's Kasha was a very, very simple Kasha. Mipnei Ma'amre Torah, why does the Holy Torah say that by the Mikzatani Yeshava, he should be Potem Yeshua? Everybody who makes it should automatically put the Shavua. You know why? He's got to get out of Shavua card free. You know what it says on it? It doesn't say Meitzi Metzia Lo Yishav on it. You know what it says on it? A good friend, we haven't quoted in over a month. It says Migo on it. Migo, I could have said Kaifer HaKol. If I would have said Kaifer HaKol, it would have been out of a Shavua. So now I said, Meitzi Metzia, do me something. Migo. So that's Rabbi's Kasha. Mipnei Ma'amri Torah. How could the Torah say such a thing of Beit HaMikdash? Doesn't Parshas Mishpatim never heard of Ksubas? Never heard of Migo? Never heard of Migo to Azaz, Migo to this, Migo to that? You never heard of Migos? You never heard of the Shach's Kloi Migo? That's Rabbi's, that's what Kasha's predicated on. To which Taka the Gemara, then the answer makes a lot of sense. Yeah, you think it's a Migo? This Migo is not a good Migo. It's a Migo to Azaz, Ayin Shach, Kloi Migo. It's not a good Migo, this Migo. But Lu Yitzu would have been a good Migo, and the Kasha is talking better than the Teretz. That's not Meitze Metzia Lo Yishav Dekin Oilem. That's not Maram Shif category. It's not Shibu Kabetz. This is a different Pshat. This is Taisis Pshat. Rubid Rubid Rishon is Pshat. The Gemara's Kasha, Rabbi's Kasha is Mita Migo. Bipneima Amr Teira. I.e., what happened to Migo? That's the Kasha. What happened to Migo? We have to stop with that kasha for a moment and come to the following realization. Any Rishon who's learning Pshat in the kasha of Rabba based on the magic word Migo is assuming something about the nature of Migo. What are they assuming? That Migo exists. I don't even want to go that. Yeah, we're getting there soon. Not today. Migo exists, but even more than the fact that it exists. I don't need Rabba to tell me that Migo exists. I know Mishnah is not. Migo is a principle that's binding and has sources of where? Min HaTorah. Because Rabba is asking a Diarai stick of kasha. Rabba didn't ask me Mak Hasub Shulchan Aruch Shava. Rabba asked a Diarai stick of question. That means Rabba Shachmatai, Rabba's pupil, is working with the assumption that Migo exists on a pure level Diaraisa, which now creates for us the following dilemma. Okay? Where? Open up your Chumash, Bereishis Balakim, I don't see Migo. Fiddle through, Bereishis. Noach, Leitam Chavayir, I'm still looking for Migo. Where is it? Who's the Migo? Who Migo? What Migo? So comes the Ritva in our Sugya and says, yep, it's there. It's got to be there. Because if it's not the Abin HaTorah, then the whole Kashi Rabbah doesn't get off the ground. So it now all of a sudden becomes incumbent upon us. And what does that mean? Okay, we're not learning Migo today. But so we're learning Rabbah. We rejected Rashi's Pshat. We couldn't figure out Rashi's Pshat. We salvaged Taisa's Pshat. But the only way to salvage Taisa's Pshat and Rova Rishon's Pshat is to come up with some kind of a real hardcore mocker in the Chumash with the notion of Migo. That's work that's now facing us. So comes with one says, I found it. I found your mocker. It's a Fesha Gemara. Ksubas Dachavbeis. I found it. Ksubas Dachavbeis. What is it saying? Ksubas Dachavbeis. The word Migo doesn't even appear there. What is the Mishnah saying? A principle called a Pesha also Pesha. The Mishnah gives two examples. The Mishnah is there, Chabez, because Gimel gives two applications to Pesha also Pesha. One is a woman walks into the base, we don't know who she is. No idea, never heard of her, never met her before. We assume a woman walks in, we don't think she's married, she doesn't appear to be married, no reason to believe she's married. She walks to the base and she makes the following statement. She says, I was married, but I'm divorced. I'd like to get married, I'd like to sign up now for wife, you know, married, but I'm divorced. What's it then? For a woman to say she's a grusha? A woman doesn't have no money to say she's a grusha. Imagine a married woman for the last 50 years, a woman's been married. She walks into the basement one day and says, hi, I'm ready to get married to somebody else. My husband divorced me. Mapitom. Where's your get? Where's your edim? There's no get, there's no edim. She has no proof. I'm not jumping in the lake. We haven't said that in a while. I'm not jumping in the lake. What do you mean? You have no nemonas. So comes the bishop and says, no. If she walks into the basement and she says, Eishas isha nisi grusha, we didn't know she was eishas in the first place, Pesha also Pesha. Then the Mishnah gives you another example. There's a din that a shvuya is a surah to marry a kohen. If you have a woman who was taken captive by goyim, so we have to be chayshish that maybe the goyim will mezana with her, and she becomes a surah to kohen. With the rabbanim, minak Torah, you don't have to be chayshish with that. With the rabbanim, you have to assume that. That was a tekanah of chacham called shvuya. So let's say we have a woman, we know she was a shvuya. We saw she was taken by the pirates. We know she was a shvuya for the last 6 months. She was hanging out with the goyim on Skull Island, whatever it was. And now all of a sudden, Baruch Hashem, we redeem her, we ransom her. And she says, I'll tell you the good news, I'm Tahira, they never touched me. I hate it, actually. You're going to be believed. The odds are they probably were. So therefore, you have no name on us. Comes the Mishnah, Susan says, but what if we didn't know she was captive in the first place? She walks through, here I am. She's coming to sign up for Shidduchim, and she says she's 25 years old, and she says, let me tell you something. 5 years ago, I was Nishbasi, but Baruch Hashem Tahira me. What does the Mishnah say? Peshah sepeshita. Nobody told us. Nobody knew she was a shvuya beforehand. We didn't have any aid that she was a shvuya. Peshah sepeshita. Famous. What's the most famous application of that Gemara? Famous. Ma'isa shayat kachoya. For a second break of Ksubas. Knew Shmuel's daughters? Who remembers the story? Famous story. Never Shmuel. The Hilga Mary Shmuel. Two of his daughters were taken as shvuyas. And the pirates wanted to make a big bucks for them. So they brought these two young ladies to the Beis Medrash, and they knew someone's gonna, the Rabbanim were gonna see Nebuch, two Jewish girls, Nebuch, and held them for ransom. So they put together a tzedakah fund, discretionary fund, they come up with some dollars, some money, and they'll pay off the pirate insurance. So they're standing, dragging these girls into the Beis Medrash. So they were very, very smart. They were Shmuel's daughters, they knew how to learn a little bit. They must have learned Ksubas. They said to the pirates, listen, do us a favor, we'll get you a lot of money. Trust, we'll get you a lot of money. Just do us a favor. Let us walk into the Beis Medrash first. Don't bring us in. You stand outside with your guns, whatever. Just let us walk in first. And we'll be out in 5 minutes with a lot of money. So he walks in the basement. What did they say? Nishbeis yitarani. Each one said, Nishbeis yitarani. So now they believe. Once we pass it up, Pesha also Pesha Hittir, she's Muteris. She can marry a Kayin. She was Takatayr. So Nishbeis, if the kidnappers of the Ganovim would have carried them into the Beis Medrash first, and there would have been an Eidus for Faneinu. Adan Saad, we see that she's a Shavuya, that she wouldn't have had any money to say to her. So they chopped, and they got some good money. The Rabbanim put together the money, they ransomed them, and showed Shalom Maestro, and then they attacked one of them, married a Kayin. So the Gemara says that when the Amoraim, the Beis Medrash, realized that they didn't know who was Shmuel's daughter, they have no idea who they were. They saw these two girls, they realized what a chop these girls had, that they realized to come into the Beis Medrash first, they terror, it must be they have some really chashim and tamid chacham in the family. These girls really know how to learn. Well, to figure, I think most guys would have figured that out. So comes the Gemara and says, they realize we got to find out who these girls are, then it's Gagla Dvar, they found out they're Shmuel's daughter, then Shalom Maestro, they got married, everyone lived happily ever after. Very nice. So the Shbeis is there and he works. Okay? So comes the Gemara in Maseches Ksubis on Daf Chavez and says, where does it come from? Where does the Shbeis Yitarani come from? Where is it? Chavez, Chavez, I forgot. It's Chavez. Comes the Gemara and says, Minani Mili, where does this principle come from? It's a Dindi Araisa, because it's working by Shavuyas Nishkafel, Son of the Rabban. It's working by Ishas Ish. We're believing a woman to say Grushani as long as she's the one who started the ball rolling. Vishnei, in the Halakha Torah, there's a principle called Pesha Asa Pesha Yitir. So comes the Gemara and says, I'll tell you the mocker. You have to hang out till tomorrow. Tell you what the mocker is. So once we understand what the mocker for Pesha Asar is, then we can begin to understand maybe what the mocker for Migo is. Assuming there's some kind of a correlation between Pesha Asar and Migo, basically we get a lot of work cut out for us tomorrow. So again, we're learning Rabbah, not learning Migo, we're not learning Pesha Asar, we're just learning Rabbah. But we have to understand the ABCs of Migo, the background, the source of Migo, in order to appreciate where Rabbah is coming from. Okay?